on the radio came the call-up for the Vietnam War, as all you people would remember, the first call-up. Well, I was the very first person, luck of the draw, it's the only raffle I ever won in my life, I was the very first person to be called out at 11 o'clock to go and fight in Vietnam. Now, I prayed on it because it's against my belief as well, and I prayed on it, and I had to go through all the procedure, like the medical and the army, what they go through, they tell you, and all this. And the Lord, through the night, I got a message. Fear not, you will not be conscripted. Now, to be first called up out of, well, I don't know how many population of Echuca, hang on, was 12,000. Pretty big place. And a lot of young men there. Now, I believed in the Lord from going to a school, as I'll get to that later. Mum and Dad were frantic over it. Was only child. Everything was on the media. They were talking this and talking that. 6 o'clock, a week, a fortnight later, there was a letter come from the Department of Defence. I opened it. I was terrified. Because the fear of the unknown, you hear stories of this, and I've got still a lot of friends who went, and some of them who are really suffering today. The fear of the unknown's always there, no matter what. And I opened the letter and it had, you have been deferred. For reasons I won't go into, but after that, it made me really a lot stronger, thanks to the Lord, and to fight and bring the message across there that never despair. If you believe in the Lord, mountains can be moved. There's no doubt about that. A lot don't, like a lot of my friends, when I say that, and they say luck, and this famous word luck, there is no such thing in my vocabulary. And that's what I stand by. What brought me to Hamilton? Right, that's weird too. I'm a weird person. I started on the railways in Echuca and went on relieving. I was on the permanent relieving staff, and I was. They were talking about knocking out jobs, and we had a railway house in Seymour, the wife and I, and out of the blue, they called them district superintendents, which was the big boss in the railways. He called me aside and he said, I've got a proposition for you. He said, it means leaving Seymour, And he said, there's a job prospect in Hamilton. He said, I came from Hamilton originally. Dave Watson was his name. He said, there's a job prospect in Hamilton. He said, and with the way you have been a loyal employee and all that, what's the name? I said, yes. He said, the job is there if you desire it. So, because there were closing places everywhere. And I went home and had a word with the wife, and we moved out of Seymour. I still remember this, but I got drowned in the car with it. All our stuff went by rail to Melbourne. We struck the rail strike, the big one they had, so it was all in the Melbourne yard. But we had our wife's first car. I don't drive. Oh, by the way, I've never had a license. Honest, yeah. Yet, when I came to Hamilton, I got with someone, a very good friend. I looked after his father for many years, and I obtained, and get this, I obtained my student pilot license. So I flew planes, but to drive, I was my wife's worst nightmare. I got the proof that engagement ring. Accidentally, we were driving and bang. But that's life. But yeah, we left from Seymour, and we had Sheba was our dog, black and white Kelpie. It was in the car. The car was all loaded up, little tiny Vauxhall Viva, and I nursed a fish tank with. It had to have water in it, because I'll tell you the sort of fish I had. Salamanders. Anyone seen salamanders? Or Aloxitol? We had a white one and a black one. And I nursed the fish tank on my knee from Hamilton to Seymour, and the water was going like this. So, and that was very interesting. I started on the railways in 1966, on the 13th of April in 1966, just after decimal currency. I remember my first pay, those funny looking notes, and before that, we all got paid in pounds, shillings and pence, as we all know. And I worked in Deniliquin from 1966 on and off until 1971. We were married on the 20th of February 1971. I only had a weekend honeymoon, and I was transferred to Deniliquin working up there. So I used to thumb a lift in those days. After work on the Saturday, you'd work from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock, and then I'd thumb a lift down with the transports down to Echuca, and then go back on the Ansett bus. They had an Ansett bus in those days. Back to the Deniliquin to start on the Monday morning, and get this, being a non-drinker, they naturally book you into a pub, the roughest pub in Deniliquin, as it was known as, and you'd be in there overnight time, like have your meal and that, and you'd go into the you'd go into the bar and they'd say, everyone's lined up for their beer. And you'd say, what do you want? I'd say, oh, I've got a milkshake. So you can imagine how I got off on the wrong foot for a start. In the bar with all these people sitting up there drinking my chocolate milkshake and not drinking alcohol because it wasn't my what's name. Then I went from there to Rochester. I was a station assistant down there. Rochester is not far from Bendigo. And I was there for quite some time. I learned to work with the farming community because in those days, I don't know how the young ones would go today, you had to scrub the toilets of a morning, scrub the office floor. Now, what I mean by scrub, you had a scrubbing brush, which is the older people, older than me, remember, a scrubbing brush, and you get down on your hands and knees, and you had to scrub it, and then we used to use a wax, and the wax was like a grease, and you'd have to put it on the floor and hand polish the floor. And you can imagine a floor like this, and it was this size. You'd have to get down, you'd have a cloth, and you'd be polishing the floor. And then you'd get the broom, tie a cloth on the broom, and go like that, and that cleaned that up. And then after that, you went into the parcels office, sorted all the parcels out, and there was a lot of parcels in those days, believe you me, because everything came by rail, everything. And after that, out, dispatch the train. Oh, had to check the tickets with all the people. They had little card tickets in those days, and you had to check all the tickets and that. And also, we used to send dogs away or animals on trains. That was interesting, quite funny. I had one get away one day, and it was $1,000 dog. They caught it, but yeah. And then I came back to Echuca and lived there for quite some time, and then was transferred to Seymour. And while I was in Seymour, I had another incident. It just follows me, I don't know why. Was when my wife was expecting our first son, Damien, and I used to do a lot of night shift, and one morning it was pouring rain all night, and she got up and was driving me to work, and I got out of the car and I went up to there in water. Yeah, it was the beginning of a real, which was to go into the sun. I ended up, they asked me, they said, would you go out to the crossing, because the wigwags were going and people didn't know whether to go across, and it was total confusion. So I waded through water up to there to walk out to the railway crossing and wait out there and tell the people, you know, they can't, their right to go through. And then we're out there and it was 11-foot wall of water came down. Now that's a, because there was a guard across the road from where we lived in Seymour, and he said, you know those little phone booths, what you see? It was as high as that, out of a little creek. It had rained all night, and the water just came from nowhere. So, I was out there for quite some time, and I was looking at the sea growing around the what's name, which was all water. And they sent a boat out to get me, because that was the only way I was going to get back to the railway station, and a little out the order, and the chap said, he said, "You're right." I said, "Yes, can't do any more here." And I got in the boat, and we're going out, and there's logs coming, everything. It's just water everywhere. There was homes flooded, and was just, and we're going, and all of a sudden, the motor cut out. And it was absolutely terrifying, because the little outboard, do you remember the little outboard? I just had that little thing you used to just pull in the back, and the boat started to go round and round in and no, he said, "We're doomed." I said, "No." I said, "We'll pray." And he said, "I don't believe in that stuff." I said, "Well, do you want to drown?" I said, "I certainly don't want." I said, "It's about time you prayed." And the boat was going, because it was really swift. In fact, it made the paper and everything, the sun. And I said to him, "Now, instead of cursing and swearing at the little motor, I said, pull the cord. I've already pulled it." I said, "Pull the cord and calm down." And he went, a couple of pulls, and it started. "Oh." I said, "Now do you believe?" He said, "Oh, the quicker I get you to dry land, the better." You know what I mean? But, okay. I was born on the 29th of June, 1945. Fortunate enough, in Echuca. My father was a saddler, and he had his own business. We lived opposite two hotels. My mother was a chronic alcoholic, and I mean chronic alcoholic. I was the only child, and I started school at grade, what they call grade bubs. They call it now preschool or whatever it is, but it was bubs. And it was at St. Joseph's College, Echuca. Now, my mother, being the only child, was very protective, really protective. And being an alcoholic, it made it worse. So she used to walk me, down to the convent every morning and leave me at the gate. So I got that complex type thing, as you can imagine. And at the convent, where I was supposed to be taught, I wasn't taught. But I never woke up to it. I had one teacher for a start, who was Mother Margaret, and that was from grade one to grade three. But after that, I had a teacher, and because she reckoned I wouldn't learn, she'd always put wouldn't learn, I was sent to the library to read a book. So I never learnt maths or arithmetic, reading or writing. They used to adjust the report book so that it was looked good. So I got through, thanks to the Lord, a job that you had to read and understand. Now, with the railways, that was a miracle by itself, because you had to, when you went for a job interview in those days, no matter what, in government jobs, you had to do a simple test, which was reading, writing, and dictation. Now, here's me. Can't do it. I've never been, what's the name? And I prayed on the Lord, and I went down for the test, and I passed. Now, to pass in something like that, I acknowledge as a miracle. And how I got through my 28 years by not being legible for writing and that, reporting and that, I used a calculator, or I used the old piece of paper and just added up slowly. And with the stations, I used to print them. And I got away with that. For 28 years, I more or less, thanks to the Lord, I survived in an industry that you had to have a very high education for what I was doing. So, and another major miracle we had, when Julianne was born, our daughter, she was born with congenital hips, I think they call it. The two hips were out, and the doctors picked it up here, and they said she'll probably never walk. So we went with that, and then we got a phone call 5 days after, and they said, we're trying an experiment through the Royal Children's Hospital, a harness. Because usually they used to put plaster. Now, when they put plaster on, people who had them done, today you still see them limping in that, because plaster's very heavy. So we said yes, we had faith, and we put the harness on. And Julianne now is 37, was 37 on the 27th of July, as good as gold. So to have that, it's another blessing. I've had so many blessings poured on my life. Is just amazing, really. And also the likes of I was in a train smash, a big train smash in Portland a couple of years back, and I used to get blackouts, but I never got a mark on me, and I was thrown from we hit a train, and there was a mess. They took me the next day and showed me what sort of mess. I said, this is a mess you made. And I had the vans were, well, I suppose about as high as that, where you looked toward the wards of signals. Now, I was thrown out of that onto the wooden floor, never broke a bone, no skin off. So why wouldn't I believe? So that's why I pass on to a lot of people a lot of the things that I've achieved, and I help a lot of people. So next question.
Let's move on now.
Yeah, right.
How many years actually did you work on the railway before you retired? Did you get a gold pass? In other words, can you have free travel around Australia with the tourists? Yes or no?
No. Because the ones, I'll tell you why, and this is, I put this on the Lord too. Okay, I got everyone in those days that were offered what they call the golden handshake. Remember that? Remember the big golden handshake? They were advertising $100,000, $150,000, right? Now, money, immaterial. That's the way I look at it. So, I was offered that to finish, and I put it to the Lord, and I said, Lord, what should I do? I said, I've got two children still at school. I said, money. And I had a word, and I approached the department when they were coming up, and I got the piece of paper, and went like that. And I didn't accept that money, where I could have had, well, like a lot of them, but I still had a job, I still had people. And I missed out. Yes, I missed out on the goal on the gold pass, and also I missed out on a lot of benefits. But money's not everything.
Now I want to move on now. We're changing the subject quite dramatically, because I'm going to lead you into other things around this town. I'm going to ask you a question now. Tell us about your music ministry. Music, yeah. For those who don't know, Kevin does a little bit of music.
My music ministry is extremely interesting, because I, for one, never sang in a choir. Because I wasn't good enough. Never sang in a choir because I was told I was not good enough, and I went with that because I had reasonably low self-esteem when it came to music. And also the likes of then I ended up going, there was a young girl, matter of fact, she, I don't see her now, but we started the practice, and she was from Greece, and I knew her mum, and she used to come around and practice and all this, and I said, you've got a beautiful voice. She said, oh. She said, I've never been told that before. I said, well, you really have. And she said, you're not so bad either. And I thought, oh, yeah, sort of. Now, she convinced me to travel up to Albury, Wodonga, back in 1997, we stayed at the backpackers, and to go in a talent quest. And I had never dreamed of going in something like that. Why? Why would I go in one of those? I'm not good enough in all this. Now, I end up going up there. On the way up, we had a meal at a place, and I finished up with food poisoning the night before, and but that happens. And then on the Sunday, rocked up at the talent quest, went into it, and sang a gospel song, which was very dear to my heart at the time, because it was my grandmother's favourite song. And I went and sat down. Well, I didn't even know I was going to perform, because humility is very important in my music industry, to be humble. And I had the coat on and just sitting there like, you know, not going to do anything. And took the coat off and walked up there and sang, and then I came back quietly and sat there, and the lady next to me, she said, "You'll win." I said, "I don't think so." I said, it's not me. I'm not like these artists who out there. And they were announcing the prizes down, and they came to first prize, and it really started me off that the Lord gave me something that was to be shared. It really has been a blessing, because I've performed, well, I've performed all over Australia, and in little places like only a speck on the map, but the people I've met and the warmth is just amazing. It really is. They wanted to do my story in Tamworth one year because, well, for just a short time to get where I got to, like after the one in Albury, I went to my aunties and went in my very first Stedford. Now, Stedford's, as Lynette knows, are very tough, aren't they, Lynette? Well, I went in my very first Stedford at the Latrobe Valley back in 1998, and male vocal, over 17, gospel, country, Australian, just like that. And he was just making me work, and out there, and I was gathering more people into the music. And I am with a European band, for those who don't know. I've been with them since 1998. We've performed right through Queensland, South Australia, Victoria. The name of the band is Euroband, and I did my last two shows, unless they come into Victoria, but I retired. That's what you would have read in the paper. One was to raise money for the Royal Flying Doctors in central western Queensland, and also for Angel Flight. And the other one was in a place called Rowena, which is in the wheat belt in New South Wales, and that was to raise money to hold a school teacher at a small school of 20 pupils, and on the night, our little group raised at Rowena $45,000. Now that's not bad in one night. Got a beautiful letter from the music has just continued on, and the ministry in music has just opened. In the process, I'm working on a gospel album at the present time. So, one in particular is, I was working here in Hamilton, and on the station side, and the chap was off sick, and the station master sent me over to the goods shed. There was they used to unload wool, and I was asked to go and help and unload some of the wool, and I was right up on the top deck of a semi, right, and put the wool hook in, it came out. And I went flying in the air, concrete, I could see the concrete, and I told the doctor this, and he, and even the ambulance officer, and they shook their heads and looked stupid at me, as non-believers do. And when I was falling, because I was coming back like that on the concrete, I felt these hands in the air literally turn me. I told Ray, because Ray was still there, I felt these hands turn me in the air. And it was eerie, but I only landed, and get this, my hands come out and I came down on the asphalt like that, still on my, what's name, little bit of skin off there, a little bit of skin off there, a little bit of skin off the tail, and they rush, naturally, oh, the bloke coming out of the office, because the station master was standing on the platform and seeing it happen. He thought, oh, gone, finished, history. And the ambulance bloke came over and he said, we've got to put these things on. I said, I don't need them. He said, but we've got to. I said, I don't need them. I said, I was turned in the air. He said, what have you been drinking? He said, where'd you fall from? I said, up there. He said, what happened? I said, well, there's the wool hook there. He said, how'd you land there? When he was looking at this, I said, I was lifted in the air and turned like a top. And he said, well, you've got to put something on. I said, well, Dad, if you want to put it on, you can put it on, but put it on loose, but I don't need it. And got up to the hospital, up to the what's name there, and they come out fussing and carrying on. And the doctor said, oh, we've got to do this. And I said, I don't need it. I said, there's nothing. And he said, who are we going to bring? I said, no need to. I said, I'm fine. And the nurse was Sister Thurgood. And she, I said to her, I said, she said, what happened? I said, well, the wool hook come out and I went flying in the air. And I said, you may believe, but I said, no one else does. I said, these hands turned me like a top. And she said, the Lord. I said, yes. And very sad, because only a couple of months after, she was coming out her driveway. You would have read about it in the paper. She was hit and killed. Just like that. So, it's another weird one too. It is. Because I've never opened up before. What happened? I seen the ad about the health and classes and learning at Salvation Army Church. And because I used to hamburgers, milkshakes, chocolates, lollies, Easter eggs. I went through a box of cherry ripes, 24 cherry ripes, one night sitting watching television. That's a lot of chocolate, isn't it? So I thought, no harm in going. And I used to pick, I was 90 kilograms. And that's a fair, yeah, I know, I'm beanpole now. And I went along there, and as soon as I walked in the door, I felt a glow and just something. There was just something there. Yeah, you would say that. Yeah, it would be different. And it just came over me, and I went home that night, and I prayed, and I said to the wife, I said, I don't need all this rubbish. I don't need all this McDonald's. I certainly don't need all this junk that I've been eating. And I, from that day, I'm trying to think when it was. It was, we prayed that night. It would have been last year. It would have been last year, and it was about March. I know it was warmer weather. Would have been, it was a warm night. Yeah. Would have been March. Yeah.
Have you been blessed since you've been coming to this church? Can you see blessings in your life?
Oh, no doubt. The blessings are just, well, I'm a perfect example. Yeah. And also, I've dropped from 89 kilograms to between 72 and 70 kilograms. And a lot better. And I eat, if it's not in the Bible, I don't eat it. Okay, young people. Okay. Young people today, remember, we have got a wonderful world. One of the things. There is wonderful things going on out there. It is blessed. We are very blessed. And read is very important. Listen to your parents is extremely important. Guidance by your parents and by your teachers. And also, you've got to have faith. That is most important, faith. And as you get older, humility, which is an old word for humble. There's a certain song which says it, and a lot of people, I can relate to some people. It goes, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." Now, the words of that song, a lot of people ask, what's the name? Because I can't wait to look in the mirror. That's vanity for a start. But a lot don't break songs up. But I do. And they've all got messages. And that, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." Because no one, but no one is perfect in every way. They might think they are, but they're not. There's always someone. Oh, another thing. I have met so many people from other cultures and other countries. A few of them are here. So I'm getting in my pocket with this little black thing hanging down. One, I was fortunate enough growing up, young people, to be in Scouts. And I was chosen to be an assistant leader and work with the Chinese in 1973 in Woodhouse, South Australia. And I got to know one of the leaders, and I've got his card. I still correspond with him. And when each of our children were born, we got gifts. Little tiny slippers for my daughter with the dragons on them, the cards with the writing on them, and also a little lantern. So each little tiny, what's name? So I got my China Connection. And another one which was really different, it caused a real stir. I've got a connection, but no one's got a CD there. In the state English school in the Kremlin. Yep, there's the card I'll show you after. I was going up to visit my son, and there was all these students on the on this bus. It was a very hot day. They were changing services, and there was two station staff there, and they were hanging around everyone else, and they were leaving this teacher with the students out of the road. And I walked in, and I just said, "Excuse me," I said, "there is such a thing as courtesy." And I said, "What's going on?" He said, "We're busy, we're busy." And I said to the Elena, I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "We've been standing there for 20 minutes. And she said, "We're from Russia." And I said, "I'll put your cases in." Now, I'm not supposed to intervene, but I'll put the cases in. And she said to me, "I'd never heard of this saying before." She said, "Chivalry is not dead." She said, "You are a knight." And I'd never heard of chivalry. I had to look it up. And we got on the bus, and we were talking like this. And one of the lady, had turned out she was a music teacher from the Kremlin. And she said to me, "My students are singers." I said, "Would you like to do a concert?" She said, "On the bus?" She said, "You are a silly Australian." She said, "We're on a bus." I said, "Have you ever performed on a bus before?" I said, "I'll go and see the bus driver." And we're on our way to Canberra we left Albury. And I said to him, "I've got visitors here, they're from Russia, and they're from a choir, and the bus was full. Couldn't have picked it better." And he said, "Oh, you'll have to sit down." I said, "Would you let one of the girls stand up and sing, please?" And, "Oh, got to have a seatbelt on." I said, "Would you let one of the girls stand up and sing?" "Hang on." And he come like he's umming and ahhing, and I said, "Can you give me a little mic here?" And I said, "Ladies and gentlemen," I said, "we've got some guests here from Russia." I said, "They are a choir, and they've just performed in Melbourne." I said, "Would you like to hear them sing, these lovely girls?" And show of hands, who would like to hear the young lass sing? And Elena's going like this to me, and the hands went up, and the young lass stood up at the back of the bus, and had the tuning just like that, and she sang absolutely beautiful. And after that, I said to her, when you get back to your country and your school, I will forward you a CD. I said, I'm with a multicultural band. And I did. When I got back home, I addressed my CD, sent it, because it's got two Russian pieces of music on it. I sent it across, because I had the card. And I ended up ringing, talking to her on the phone, and she said, "Kevin." I said, "Yes." She said, "I'm sending you a little gift. I will, and then I'll lend it to you. You can listen to it." She actually sent me a DVD from in the most exclusive school inside the Kremlin of her student taking me from room to room, showing me all the history of Russia. And then she finished up with one of her students singing at the piano, and it's a beautiful piece of music. As a matter of fact, it brought back my childhood from the legendary Sleeping Beauty song, I Know You, I Walk With You Once Upon a Dream. And that was truly wonderful. And yes, I'm still corresponding with her. And I've got a big multicultural connection. Matter of fact, my son is married to Les from Asia. And when I was in Canberra just recently, we had last Saturday I was at church like this. And then we had a big birthday. And I'll tell you what, Australians don't know how to party. It was absolutely wonderful. I was with people from Cambodia, Saigon, Laos, Vietnam, China, Hong Kong, you name it. And I was the only Australian. But the welcome, it was just, I don't know, it's just something that I think a lot of politicians could really learn, because not everything is on paper and in books. You've got to meet the people and understand.
You could go on all afternoon like me. lunch is beckoning. This morning we had an insight into an extraordinary person's life. Who had ever thought we'd hear that sort of story? How far can the Christian go in this world? The Christian can go places where we can't, through common media, through common things, like a DVD or a record, or a radio. Who remembers Voice of Prophecy? Look what happened there. HD, whatever, you know. Now that stuff, cross-country culture, that's how we move. It's been interesting. Kevin, we want to thank you this morning for what you've given us.
Thanks, Ron.
And we are blessed that you are here with us in this church now. And we pray, like us all, that your experience will be a blessing to us all, and that your spiritual life will gain recognition and be able to move forward.
Well, I'm only a bloke, that's all, just an ordinary bloke.
We are thankful for this Sabbath day and for the experience that you've given us through Kevin this morning, that we've been able to hear his testimony. Lord, there is a testimony in every soul here today. It might be different, our cultures, our way of life, where we walk, where we work, where we go. They are all interesting. Lord, it is experience that has been able to bring us through here. As we discussed in the lesson this morning, you are the light of the earth, and we have to move forward as a united church here in Hamilton. Each of us has a part to play in this church. Nobody can do it on their own except through you, not even our minister, Lord. We all need your help, Lord. And with the aid and the help of the Holy Spirit, I pray that Kevin and all of us here will be able to move forward in spirit and in joy and in knowledge that you are the one true Saviour, the one who died at Calvary for us, who shed blood on our behalf, that we might be able to have life if we go to him. Take us now into this afternoon and give us a good Sabbath day to rest. I ask that you in your name. Amen.